Welcome to Money Tips by Charles Kelly, author of Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. Charles spent over 25 years in financial services, working for banks, insurance companies, and as a qualified independent financial advisor running his practice, before setting up his speaking, consultancy, and property business. Money Tips will help you save, make, and accumulate more money, whether you are a business owner, entrepreneur, employee, or still searching for your vocation.
Hi there, and welcome to UK Property Talk. The question I want to ask today to you is, will higher interest rates trigger a property market crash? Now, the reason I ask this is because it's coming up more in the media now. Different parts of the media are suggesting that higher interest rates will signal either a downturn, a correction, or even a crash in the property market. Now, newspapers and the media tend to use words like crash, you know, fall, crash, you know, correction. They don't use words like a slowdown or a downturn. They want that big headline to catch your attention. Obviously, that's what they're there for, to sell newspapers or to get you to click on their website. But it is nonetheless a concern. And I'll tell you about what's going on also at the moment in other parts of the world. But specifically on the UK, interest rates are obviously rising. They've risen a couple of times already. They're set to rise again by the end of the year. The Bank of England may put them up as high as 2%. Now, that's just the base lending rate. It doesn't mean you'll get a mortgage at 2%. The mortgages could cost 1 or 2% more than that rate. And, you know, already we are seeing that mortgage rates have increased quite a bit. You know, they've gone up a lot. One person I spoke to who was buying a property, his mortgage expired because he couldn't complete. He found that, I think he had a deal at sort of 2 or 3%, and then it suddenly went up to, when they said, well, we can give you a new loan because your old deal's expired. I don't know what that means, expired. I don't know why they couldn't extend it a few weeks, but they wouldn't. And they said that this one will now cost 4.6%. So he said that's too much, and he's going elsewhere. But, you know, and in America, you're seeing the same thing. Mortgage rates have jumped up because the lenders don't necessarily follow the Bank of England or the Fed base rates, you know, because if they did, they would be charging virtually nothing for their mortgages during the last few years when, you know, base rates were almost zero, but they were still charging on a mortgage 2-3% for some buy-to-let deals, you know, which is way over the base rate if you think about it, when the base rate was almost zero. I mean, to give you an example, I remember when base rates were 5, 6, 7, even 10%, 10% Bank of England base rate, and the mortgages used to be 1 to 1.5 over base, maybe a maximum of 2, you know. And then when base rates come down, they just increase their margins, basically. I mean, look at credit cards. Credit cards have been around 18 to 20% for decades. But even when base rates were down at almost zero, the credit card company still kept charging 16, 18, 20, 30, 40% on top of the base rate. And, you know, we've seen this in a lot in the credit market. And, you know, I announced in my podcast this week, my Money Tips podcast, that Apple have now entered into the lending business with a new feature on their app called the Buy Now, Pay Later. They've jumped on that bandwagon along with Klarna and PayPal to capture some of that market, where you can just add a click, get credit to buy things. And, you know, a lot of people are struggling. They're using these apps to buy food and essentials for their children. There's nothing necessarily new about that, but it's just so much easier now to just get credit just like that. Just bang, you know, you just press your phone, buy, would you like to pay this later? Oh yeah, why not? Bang, here we go. You know, so I think it's inevitable that more and more people are getting into debt, and perhaps Apple can see that people are going to be struggling. So they're offering this facility to help people, I guess. Well, I'm being a bit cynical there. Right, but interest rates are going up. So that is bound to affect affordability on property. And, you know, central banks around the world are increasing interest rates. Why? Because of inflation. Inflation that came about mainly through their quantitative easing in creating all this extra money that has now inflated the value of money. And now the money has almost become so worthless that it's going down in value. It's not quite as bad as that, but you get the picture, right? So inflation in the UK is nearing 10%. It will be 10% by the end of the year. And we know that prices are already rising at over 10% now. So the official rate of inflation is lagging behind what's really going on, where you see in the shops, Essentials like pasta has gone up by 50%. Fuel is now, you know, reaching £2 per litre. I remember when it was a big deal when it reached £1 or £2 a gallon, when we had gallons in those days. I'm showing my age now. But, you know, it's incredible that to fill up an average family car, not a big gas guzzling thing, but to fill up an average family car is now costing near and sometimes more than £100. So imagine if you're using a tank of petrol every week. £100 a week is £5,000 a year. Now, if you're working, you've got to earn about £7,000 or £8,000 just to fill up your tank so that you can get to work. And if you're a haulage company, it's even worse. They said the increased cost of filling up, one of these big trucks is now increased by £20,000 a year. So that is adding to the pressure, isn't it? Because as petrol goes up, costs goes up, and petrol and oil is used in everything. It's used in manufacturing, it's used in to get things around, shipping, planes, cars, trains and automobiles, that sort of thing. And so it pushes up the cost of everything because everything is transported around the world now. We don't use much local produce. No, we want avocados from Chile and almonds from California. So everything is going up in price, and the oil price going up still is adding. It's like throwing petrol on the fire of the inflation that's already burning out of control. So they're trying to contain that. It's a 40-year high in most countries, and they're putting up interest rates. So interest rates are likely to keep going up. And unless something remarkable happens and inflation is somehow starts to slow down as prices go up, maybe people will stop buying stuff. I don't know. But, you know, whilst inflation at the moment is as high as since 1982, you know, house prices have persisted during high periods of inflation for a long time. You know, I've seen property still going up in value by leaps and bounds, even in times of high interest rates and high inflation. So maybe the market can stand higher interest rates. And I've seen, I paid 16% on a mortgage. 16.25% was the highest I paid on a mortgage. But I've also paid 10 and 12% when I thought that was normal. People thought that was normal. And I remember when interest rates were coming down, some people complained because they fixed their rate for, say, 5 or 10 years at 10%. And they thought, well, I've got a good deal there. But then when rates came down, they were stuck. Other people had these rates where they were sort of protected if they went up, but it cost them more if it went down. They were done by some financial instruments. A lot of people got caught by that and they got made bankrupt by that because the banks then added on more to their loan when interest rates come down. So it was very unexpected that rates would come down so low. So maybe an interest rate of 5 or 6%, for instance, on a mortgage can be swallowed and accepted by the property market. So it may not be as disastrous. I mean, rates are still very, very low, and as low as, you know, apart from the last couple of years, it's still really low and it's still really cheap money when you think about it, you know, and you think about the cost of renting compared to buying. It's still cheaper to buy if you can get the mortgage and you can put your deposit down. It's still usually cheaper to buy. And when that changes, maybe, you know, people will stop buying. So whether it will be, you know, whether these higher interest rates will affect the market, I don't know. It started to dent the market. Things have started to slow down a little bit, but it certainly hasn't started crashing yet. Now, several reports are also suggesting that the country is going into recession. A recent OECD report says that UK will head into recession, negative growth next year. But you don't need to be an economist to realise that people are already struggling. I was at a charity lunch today and people there are not poor. You know, they're not struggling. They can afford, you know, a $40 ticket for this charity lunch and bid on raffle prizes and that sort of thing. But, you know, even they were saying that they feel that it's getting tough for people out there. They know people who are suffering, especially people on fixed incomes or fixed pensions. And, you know, they see more activity in things like food banks and, you know, just more people cutting back because of the rising costs of fuel and gas and heating. So if the country goes into recession, then property will suffer because people won't be buying so much. And I've seen this before in several recessions where, you know, once things starting going downhill, everyone loses confidence then. They lose confidence in the stock market, which can go down like that. Property takes a bit longer. But if confidence goes, then people start to panic. And then, you know, it's, oh, I won't buy, or I won't sell, or I'll just hold on, you know. And then banks panic, they won't lend, and that sort of thing. So it's like a domino effect, if you like. But the latest official figures show that prices in England rose by 9.9%. Well, it's nearly 10%, isn't it? The year to March, taking the average price sold to £297,000, nearly £300,000 average across the UK. So that's quite high. An official figure shows that prices rose in every part of the UK last year. Between February and March 22, prices dipped slightly in London by just under 1% and just under 0.8% in the southeast of England. But then we've seen rapid, huge rises in the last couple of years in those areas. You know, 10% just in the last year, maybe 20% in the last couple of years. So, you know, things may have just dipped a bit. And it depends whether you're looking at the asking price or the sold prices. But figures released by the Halifax in May show that there was not much sign of a slowdown. And that's just, you know, last month. I know it's historical because they're basing their figures on sold prices and mortgage activity as well. But, you know, despite fears of the cost of living and energy bills, house prices rose 1.1% or about £3,000 compared to March. That's March to April. So prices are still kind of going up a little bit, although the rise in prices is slightly slowing. Now, the average price now in the UK is 286,000, and it's the 10th consecutive month of prices going up every month, making it the longest run for 6 years. And when you say the longest run for 10 years, the longest, you know, always is it going to stop? When's it going to end? Well, we don't know. But, you know, as I said, there's no immediate sign of a crash coming, but prices are slightly sort of slowing down. Now, sales activity is still buoyant, but some of the agents I speak to say it has slowed down and they just can't get enough properties to sell. If they had, you know, the plenty of four-bedroom houses with big gardens, they could sell them. So there's still money around at that top end, but the flats are getting a bit more sticky. I'm seeing a lot of flats being reduced in price. But the big estate agents, Chesterton, said it's seen a 31% jump in the number of people registering for viewings at its London branches. So there's certainly activity. Chesterton's are that sort of posh end of the market in central London. So they would be selling, you know, prices, maybe flats starting at £500,000 and maybe properties going up to, you know, 10, 20 million even. So they're seeing a 38% of people registering to buy in London. So that's a good sign for the property market. But there's no doubt what's also helped the property market go, and that's cheap credit, historically low interest rates. And, you know, it's definitely helped push up the market because it's so cheap to borrow. You know, you can borrow huge amounts of money at you know, what I and pay the same amount of mortgage that I used to pay on a £50,000 mortgage. Now you can borrow like hundreds of thousands of pounds and pay the same amount that I was paying years ago. So it's obviously helped people and investors and buy-to-let investors and young people get onto the property ladder, because with interest rates very low, once they could get the property, whether they borrow a lot of money or get it from the parents, you know, their monthly outgoings were lower than if they'd rented the same property. So that ratio is still there and it works in their advantage. Now, globally, many cities, including London, are in what most economists would see as a big bubble. It's a property bubble because the prices have gone beyond people's reach. And you're looking at London, Vancouver, Toronto, Auckland and Sydney. And they're amongst the most highest priced properties in the world. I think Beijing is another one. But, you know, these are really property hotspots. And you've got America, you've got, you know, LA and San Francisco and New York and places like that and parts of different hotspots in America. But, you know, a lot of people are saying that they're completely overpriced. They're completely out of step with what most people can even hope to afford. And in London, you know, you've got a ratio of 12 times average income and maybe a little bit higher. I think it might be 14 times average income for the average person to buy an average property in London. And in some cities like St. Albans, it's about the same. Winchester, you know, down on the south coast, it's, if you look at the average income in St. Albans and the average house price, you know, you've got to earn 12, it's got to be 12 times that to buy an average property. And that will probably be a flat in St. Albans. So what I'm saying is that people cannot borrow 12 times their income. Even if they've got a deposit of, say, 10%, they would still need to borrow maybe 10 times their income. And they just can't get it. You know, when I bought my first house, you know, you could get a mortgage of three and a half times your income. And most people could buy a property with that kind of ratio. Now you'd need a mortgage of 10 times, 11 times to buy a property. Okay. So that's why it's the prices have gone up so high compared to average incomes that's why economists think there's a bubble waiting to burst. Now, why have prices gone up so much? Well, obviously a lot of foreign buyers have gone in, particularly from China, in Canada and Australia and Auckland. Russian buyers and different buyers from other countries have gone in and snapped up properties. Maybe it's somewhere to park their money. Maybe they just wanted to get residence in another country. You know, particularly if you are Chinese or Russian, there's a big demand for buying properties in order to obtain long-term residency or citizenship, or just to have some security that your money is somewhere that their own government can't get hold of. A lot of people are saying it's money laundering, but we don't know that. Not everybody is money laundering that buys a property in London. But, you know, some of these guys have been able to buy properties at 30, 40, 50 million pounds, you know, and then that has a knock-on effect on the whole market. So, and a similar story is happening in, you know, places like Sydney and Perth and Auckland. So that's created a big bubble. Now, the reason I mention this is that there are signs in Sydney that the bubble could be about to burst. Prices, according to one newspaper report, have been slashed by up to 150,000 Aussie dollars. And a number of properties being cleared, what they call cleared through auction sales, has dipped below a crucial figure, apparently of 60%, according to the Sydney Herald. So they're saying that, you know, things are definitely slowing down in Sydney. And again, once confidence goes and then the newspapers mention it and the new, we're in recession, the property is about to burst, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? And then, you know, everyone starts to panic. But definitely, that aside, it looks like if Australia goes, now Australia is obviously a long way from here, you know, it's a 20-hour flight or whatever, but it's still a Western country. And, you know, these things can reverberate around the world pretty quickly and spread. It's not like you can say, well, that's Australia, it doesn't matter here, you know, because we don't know. We could see money being pulled out of these markets as Russians and Chinese have got their own problems, obviously, with sanctions. And China's got its own property bubble with Evergrande and these sort of companies defaulting on their bond payments. But we might see an exodus from Western property markets. We might see a downward fall. Some people might say that's great, you know, send them home, all sort of stuff. You know, some people might see a welcome, might see property prices falling as a welcome thing because, you know, they want them to get on the property market, or they want their sons, daughters and grandchildren to get on the property ladder. So a lot of people wouldn't mind seeing a property dip. So we'll have to see. Now, you know, in America, there are also signs that the website Zillow is reporting that things are slowing down. Lending is slowing down. Some of the lenders have laid off people. So that these, you cannot tell exactly when things are going to change, but you've got to look for the economic signs, right? You've got to look for things that are happening in the world. Look at the stock market. That's overpriced. That's about to crack, I'm sure. I wouldn't be putting my money into the stock market. Now, just a brief aside on that. A lot of people say, well, I'm not in the stock market. Well, look at your pension. Look at where your pension is. A lot of people have self-invested pensions or personal type pensions where the money is just put into a managed fund. And usually these managed funds are in pensions. I was talking to someone recently that is in that position, and he should be, you know, in retirement age now, and he's still got his money exposed in the stock market. Now, I wouldn't have my total fund exposed in the stock market. It's a little bit different if you're just starting out in your pension journey. You know, you're in your 20s, you've got a small fund and you're putting in, you know, your 100 or a couple of hundred a month, then it doesn't really matter if the market's up or down, you benefit from pound cost averaging. But if you're 40 or 50 and you've got several hundred thousand pounds in a pot, in a fund, and it's all in the stock market, then your money is at risk. At very least, you should protect some of it and take some of it out of the stock market and maybe put future contributions into the stock market. But you need to talk to your financial advisors because they won't talk to you. They're not going to think, oh, his money's at risk. They're just going to leave you there, stuck in that position. Same as the stock markets never say, oh, the market's about to crash, everyone should sell. When was the last time you hear a fund manager or a pension fund manager saying, oh, the market looks dodgy, you better pull your money out? No, they're not going to say that. They'll say, oh, stay with the dips, just it'll all come back again. But, you know, when the market dips, it could take years to come back. And if your pension fund and you're about to retire and the market has dipped by 20, 30%, as it has done in the NASDAQ stock market, and NASDAQ market has already dipped by 30%, then you're in trouble because you need to retire. You can't wait 5 years for the market to bounce back. So, but property generally takes longer to react to these things. So it tends to be a slower decline. And property also can take several years to recover. I've seen property recessions that took, you know, 5, 6 years before I could sell a property for what I paid for it. And that was after there was a crash at one point and it went down for a couple of years. Then I bought a property and it still stayed low for 6 years. And that time you had the BBC Panorama program telling them that the market would take 20 years to recover and that, you know, it was all finished. We're all finished. We're all doomed. And it didn't take 20 years, but it can take 5, 6, 7, even 8, 9 years to come back from a big crash. And the same thing could happen with the stock market. So I'm just warning you on the stock market, even though I'm not talking about, this is not stock market talk. This is property talk. But, you know, so in America also, there are signs of slowing down. There are also problems for property owners and landlords, as well as tenants in a way that landlords apparently are still unable to evict tenants, even if they've stopped paying the rent. This was a measure brought in by America and the UK during the lockdown period, where you were not allowed to evict tenants. And some tenants took advantage of this. Fortunately, I didn't have that problem myself, but you know, it created a huge backlog of tenant evictions, which are still working their way through the courts. But apparently in America, Joe Biden has extended the ban for another year on evictions. So that's a bubble waiting to burst, isn't it? Because what happens when, you know, that ban is lifted and then everyone starts getting evicted? And in America, I think it can happen pretty quickly. You know, we're going to see a lot of people out on the streets. And because they've got bad credit histories, they may not be able to rent. So you might see, as in one previous recession in America, a lot of people pitching up in tents and living in their cars because it's quite brutal there. I don't think the government are going to rehouse you like they do here. So that's another problem waiting to happen. And, you know, we've had this financial stimulus is going on, which is coming to an end. So I think we're looking at some big economic problems ahead. How this will affect the property market is another matter. Now, if you're an investor, particularly on a buy-to-let type of situation, and that's your income, then what can you do? You need income. You can't necessarily sell your property and then put your money into cash, where cash is trash. It's losing 10% a year and it's earning virtually nothing in the bank. So a lot of landlords will choose to sit it out. And as long as they're getting income, they're getting their rents coming in, then it doesn't really matter whether the price of the property is going up, down or sideways, right? But if you're in a situation where you're buying to develop and refurbish and sell on in maybe 6, 9 months time, then you've got to think carefully. You know, you've got to have a plan A. This is, I'm buying this property, we're going to build it into 3 flats, sell off the flats. This is the GDV, this is the time period, 6 to 9 months. So I've got to borrow this money. What's the cost of the finance? Maybe it's 0.5%, 1% a month. So you've got to build that into your sums and then sell those properties off in 9 months' time. You've got to think, well, will I be able to sell those properties? What's the plan B? If I can't sell them, can I refinance the deal, get my money out and leave the properties to be rented for a couple of years until the market picks up? That's the kind of plan B you want. So you have an exit strategy and a plan B if you can't get your money out straight away, maybe to refinance. But then refinancing could become another problem. During a dip, during a downturn, a lot of lenders don't want to lend. They only want to lend when it's at the top of the market. But, you know, be careful on these flips and refurbishments because during recessions, during downturns, people do get caught literally with their pants down. And I've seen whole blocks of flats been more or less abandoned and sold off when the developers went bankrupt. Because, you know, when you're developing and, you know, you've got to pay your money back and you haven't sold them and you haven't, and you've got interest on interest rising up, and then people start pulling the rug from under your feet, developers do go broke. Now, a lot of young people haven't seen this. They've never lived through any kind of recession, let alone a long recession or a depression. So they haven't seen this domino effect that can happen. And that's why a lot of smart money is waiting in a bit of cash, because they see opportunities coming up. So for professional investors, there are opportunities in any market, whether it's going up, down or sideways. You can make money in most markets. Sometimes when the market's on a downturn, it's easier to pick up properties because then it's more of a buyer's market. Certainly in the last few years, it's been a seller's market, with sellers putting people on like a waiting list and seeing who's got the highest bid before they'll accept the, you know, they don't want the asking price. They want more than the asking price. So I think those days might be over, but we'll see. Of course, in the UK, we're coming into the busy property season. You know, summertime, people are out buying properties. And in fact, you know, to cap it all off, I'm launching my own online virtual estate agent. I'm not opening a high street branch, but I'm launching my own estate agent. It's called Open House South Hart, where I'll be operating in the South Hertfordshire area, covering places like Watford, Radlett, Boreham Wood, Shenley, and those sort of places, and Bushy. So I'm opening my own estate agency, and I'll be operating from later this month. So I'll give you the official launch date. So I'm going into that market. Why? I think because, having dealt with estate agencies over the last 30 years, I've realized that there is a gap in the market for excellent service, for that caring touch, and especially in property management, for professional property management that really looks after the landlord and the tenant, and not the kind of property management where an agent will just put any old tenant into your house and just forget about you. You know, I think good property management is quite rare nowadays, and that's particularly where I will be looking at that market, that property management, where you offer excellent quality property management. You look after the landlord and the tenant, and offer good service for sales as well. So sales, letting and property management, that's the market I'm going into, and I'll be officially launching very soon. So I'll keep you posted on that. So again, whether prices go up, down or sideways, there will always be a need for property, right? People will always need somewhere to live, whether they rent or buy. And there's still a shortage of property in the UK. That's the bottom line, I guess. There's still a shortage of property in the UK. They still need to build more new housing than they can even manage to build. So, you know, it's not, even if prices do dip, I don't think it's the end of the world. You know, prices can dip. Prices have dipped in the past, but the trend over the last 1,000 years has always been upwards. So I'm getting into estate agency for my sins, and I want to do a really professional job. Now, a lot of you might not be in my patch, my area, but, you know, if you are in the South Harts area, Watford, Boreham Wood, Bushy, and Radlett, Shenley, those sorts of areas, then do talk to me if you have a property to let or sell, or you want good property management that really looks after your interests and looks after your tenant and the property. So thanks for listening. But if you want to learn more about property secrets by professionals, I'll put a link up to a webinar that you can attend next week. It's absolutely free. You can learn from professionals who've built up large portfolios of properties over the years, and you can learn the secrets of getting into property, what type of strategies you want to get into, because not everyone's going into buy to let. Some people might be into buy and refurbish, rent to rent, with using none of your own money, of course. And some people might want to find investors to develop properties using none of their own money. So do check that out as well, because you can learn things. It's a 2-hour seminar that will really give you a lot of good information. And it's not run by me, it's run by some friends of mine. So do try that out. And I'll put a link up for that as well. So you can check that out. I think it's next Wednesday at 7 p.m. So thanks for listening. And let's hope that the market stays well for everybody. And stay safe out there. And I will speak to you again soon. This is Charles Kelly bringing you UK Property Talk. Thanks very much. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Money Tips. For more tips and information, visit moneytipsdaily.com. The information given in this podcast is for your entertainment and should not be construed as financial advice. As always, take independent financial advice before making any investment decisions.